Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning wherever you may be across this great land of ours, from the island of Guam, Ziroc, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole and worldwide on the internet. And I'd like to also say good morning to all the shadow people out there. Since we know there are so many of them, I should include them, shouldn't I? This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. Friday night, Saturday morning, it's going to be a wild, wild, wild one. Major Ed Dames. Remote viewer Major Ed Dames is going to be here in the next hour, and he told me it was going to be grim. So, be warned, if you don't like grim, you don't want your children to hear grim, after all they did call him Dr. Doom, then you should take preventative steps and put a radio lock on or something. All right, let's look around and see what's happening in the world. President Bush and the Chinese president are reviewing drafts of an agreement that would allow a joint commission to resolve the dispute, over a U.S. spy plane and its 24-member crew, as the two sides move toward some sort of diplomatic resolution. Without referring directly to the strategy, have the U.S. and China air their versions of the U.S. surveillance flight, which collided with the Chinese fighter, President Bush said we're making progress in negotiation. Well, I still like the lady yesterday who sent me the email that said, why don't we just say, we're really, really sorry that your plane hit ours. The nation's largest insurer, automobile insurer, has decided not to take any more new customers in New Jersey after losing over $100 million last year. Bad, bad New Jersey drivers. What are you doing over there? Has to do with high-risk drivers, offering them preferred rates or something or another, and discounts of up to 35%. Really? They finally stopped the practice in January, but not before losing more than $128 million last year. Wonder who's losing their head in the corporate world of insurance over that one. Pacific Gas and Electric has become the biggest public utility in U.S. history as PG&E to file for bankruptcy on Friday, turning to the courts for relief from California's deregulation debacle. And, gee, all these other states are getting ready to turn to deregulation. Here we've got PG&E going belly up. And we've got other states just racing to emulate California. This is from Reuters. Wildlife officials have confirmed the first case of a mad cow-like disease in a wild deer in western Canada, prompting concerns that the wasting illness could wreak the same damage already underway in game farms. Oh, boy. Kevin Omoth, a senior analyst in the Fish and Wildlife branch of the Saskatchewan Environmental and Resource Management Division, said, unfortunately, from our perspective, we were hoping it wouldn't be found in the wild, but it has now been confirmed. We've got one positive. And I suppose when you get one, you've got, or you have to presume that you've got two or three or ten or 100. So I don't know what they're going to do. Saturday, we will launch a $400 million 2001 Mars Odyssey. It will go back to the red planet for NASA following two spectacular crashes in 1999. So we're going back to Mars again. The Odyssey is part of the Mars Exploration Program, a long-term robotic exploration of the Red Planet by the U.S. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, said Ed Wheeler, Associate Administrator for Space Science at NASA Headquarters. Mars continues to surprise us at every turn. Yeah, it blows a lot of stuff right out of the sky. And then a lot of the things that go down and actually land on little legs don't survive. Surprise, surprise. The mission set to launch Saturday at 11.02 a.m. local time, 15.02 GMT for techies from the Kennedy Space Center near Cape Canaveral, Florida, will travel 460 million kilometers before arriving at Mars in late October, tightening its orbit to begin its work January of 2002. They have named it such, the 2001 Mars Odyssey, in a tribute to science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke. Now that's interesting, isn't it? But they don't comment on Sir Arthur's recent statements on large life on Mars or the probability of it. Yes, I guess I should be now on a regular basis welcoming the shadow people to the show. There are so many of them. Oh, my God, I've got 4,000 emails now on shadow people. You folks out there, having seen shadow people, if they're hanging around to that degree, I guess I'm sorry they don't fill out diaries and surveys. That of special shadow people diaries, I'd really be in, huh? Dear Art, I write, as I always do, to offer you some information this time about these so-called shadow people. It is not surprising that so many people have seen them, as they are. There are many of them about. In fact, there are three types that I have seen. Not that anyone has ever written a book about them. Who knows? There may be more. Class one. My classification. Who the hell am I, really? Inorganic beings that are of the variety sorcerers, shamans, and magicians can call upon for assistance. Huh. Sometimes they appear as actual people showing up as if to bring us gas, if we're stuck, that sort of thing. Really? I've had people do that for me, but they were solid. Anyway, they are recognizable by the fact they have no aura. Oh, well, see, I don't see auras anyway, so I wouldn't know. Class two are energies belonging to the Earth who show up in folklore. For example, the troll under the bridge or the mysterious force that messes with us if we're in the graveyard, in quotes, in the graveyard, that sort of thing. Leprechauns, probably. Huh. And some of them actually possess people, it says. Ted Bundy, for example, he says, was possessed. So there you are, the shadow people. I'm never gonna stop hearing about this. And I suppose there's got to be something really going on here. Now, last night, my guest thought some of them could be attributed to people on OBEs. But I don't think that's the whole answer. Oh, by the way, I got this in email, and I thought, you know, this isn't such a bad idea. It says, Minister, and I won't read his name, has the power to make you a legally ordained minister within 48 hours. And I thought, you know, wow, I could be an ordained minister in 48 hours. Talk about a crash course in God. Wow. It says, be ordained now. As a minister, you will be authorized to do the following. Weddings. Marry your brother, sister, or best friend. Don't settle for being the best man or bridesmaid. Do the ceremony yourself. Funerals. This is not a joke. This is serious. A very hard time for you and your family. Don't settle for a minister that you don't know. Do it yourself. Baptism. Say welcome to the world to the newest little one around. Forgiveness of sins. The Catholic Church has practiced the forgiveness of sins for centuries. Why not you? Visit correctional facilities. Whoa, hey, there's an opportunity. Since you're a certified minister, you can go visit others in need. Preach the word to them. Want to start your own church? Well, after your legal ordination, you may start your own congregation. Pass the hat. And I suppose being, and let's see, what does all this cost? It doesn't say how much it, oh yes it does, $29.95 U.S. I'm going to send it in. It's got an area code here. This is interesting. It has the same area code I do. And then the alternative would be up in 801. I think that's probably up in Utah, isn't it? And then it says it's actually in Montana. You know, it was the first spam, and I guess it is spam, that ever caught my eye. And I don't know why it caught my eye. It's like, do it all. Marry your brother and your sister. And your, why not your neighbor? Random people. Funerals, baptisms, forgiveness of sin, correctional facility visitations, starting your own church. My God, for $29.95, you can't lose. So I'm going to get my certificate. And then you all have to call me Brother Bell or something. So that's the kind of night it is in the first hour tonight. We'll go to open lines in a minute. I've got a lot more, but I want to get some open lines in. Major Ed Dames at the top of the hour with some pretty woeful news, pretty serious news. Two other little things. We just had a Class X5 flare, sun flare. Literally just had it. That's pretty big sun flare. Actually, it's a monster. Just short of the oh my God category that they don't name up above X. That's a big one, folks. Out of a different area, not 9393. It has already rotated away from us. This is a new area pointed our way, so we'll see. Should be interesting. Maybe we'll have colored skies once again. That was one. Oh, yes. I want to remind you, because this will be my last chance to remind you. You have got to catch Echo Challenge. Whether or not I have any guests, I may have some guests. In fact, 3 Playboy centerfolds we're talking about coming on the show. And or maybe I can contact the winner of the whole race. But this Echo Challenge thing is unbelievable. And it's going to air in its entirety on Sunday. This is my last chance to remind you of it. Set your VCRs to USA Network Television. That's where it's going to be, USA Network. Here on the West Coast, it's going to be at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, obviously adjust for your time zone. Check your TV guide. That's Eastern. No, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. Eastern. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Eastern. Thank God for wives, huh? Sunday, April 8th. This thing is, it is the biggest planned torture of human beings that I have ever seen in my whole life, and that people would make it through is a absolutely a testament to the inner will of man and woman. And amazingly, they included these Playboy bunnies in the group that went, you know, as an amateur team. There were many teams, and by God, they did finish. They finished wrecks, of course, like everybody else was wrecked. Some people had no skin on the bottom of their feet. People were pulling these leeches out of their belly buttons. And, it was horrible. I mean, Mark Burnett, who does Survivor, did this. But when he did this, he was doing the real thing. Survivor is, well, I'll tell you what, kid stuff compared to Echo Challenge. So you will enjoy this. People don't get voted off in Echo Challenge. They drop. Nobody has to vote anybody off. They just quit. They drop. They say that's it. So it's something to see. Again, that's East Coast time. So we should adjust here in the West, I guess, huh? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 o'clock Sunday on USA. See it, because next week at some point I'm going to have somebody from that on, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, at least. It's such an amazing, amazing program, Echo Challenge. You don't want to miss it. All right, into the unknown night we go. Let's see what's out there, shall we? First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is John in Los Angeles.
Hi, John.
A year or so ago, you had a guest on that was talking about a free energy device that they had developed, and they just needed some funding for it. Do you recall?
No. They're all like that. All free energy devices would be in every home, save for development money or the fact that the oil companies have been killing their relatives, pulling their limbs off one limb at a time. So,
well,
I mean, they're all that way, so I don't remember the specific one.
Well, I forget if it was somebody in Florida or not, but I was wondering if maybe if you could find somebody to talk about the latest development in that. I heard some story about a guy in Australia that had developed something. Have you heard about that?
What did he develop?
Something to do with an energy device that was supposed to be, you know, taking the place of power plants. So,
I'm an agnostic in this territory, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to wait until somebody shows me something that works, and they never do that.
Right. Okay.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. I really am getting cynical about that. How many people now have I had come on this program over the years, and I have limited the number of for your benefit and mine, because I can't handle listening to it. Free energy. We snatch it from the air and deliver it to your home for nothing. Fine. When somebody shows me the first even little over-unity toy, then I'm going to be on board. I'll be a believer jumping up and down. But I've been looking at this and hearing about it for so long that I'm tired of it until I see some evidence. Ballcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Nick of L.A.
Hello, Nick of L.A.
I have a comment and a request. I'll go with the comment first.
All right. Why not?
Concerning your guest concerning OBO.
OBEs.
OBEs, yes.
All right.
This thing of sleep paralysis, I get it frequently. There's a cause. It's very annoying, but not the end of the world for me. When I'm in it, I can barely get enough control sometimes to get my covers off, shake them off, get my feet over the edge, hang my head low, like, you know, when you're going to faint or something, and then there's the little woozy thing.
Yeah. Well, see, and you're like me. You don't really welcome this at all. It feels like crap.
Well,
in
my case, it comes from eating fruit preserves or pie, like those cheap Hostess things you get in the five and dime.
You get Hostess Bendies?
Well, I don't eat them now, but I have, and the blueberry or whatever is in it.
You really ought to stop eating those.
And the request is, and I've been wanting to do this for a year, when Adames is on, he mentions that dependence more on groundwater and frozen state, like glacial or snow water.
Ah, yes.
And I want to ask him if the other water, the one that's underground, is more compromised by something that's already in it that is enhanced by earth changes or weather conditions, like an organism or, you know, overheating or whatever, or if it's something that is introduced into the water that was never there before.
Normally, groundwater, if you're deep enough, is quite safe because it's been through this wonderful filtration process. You know, it has so far.
Well, if that's the case, why is he suggesting people use more of the surface water after the desiccation and the sun changes? I want to know that. I've asked people this. They all tell me the same thing you do, and I've been wanting to ask, is something going to happen to the water that that you need the surface water because the other water is still there, but something has changed in the water, like an organism that's normally harmless that has been altered by weather conditions or heat.
All right.
Something is in the water that wasn't there before, because everybody tells me there's no way that aquifers can be damaged to the point where you have to use all that surface water.
I wouldn't have thought so, unless you live where I live, and then, of course, there's nuclear radiation.
Well, it's something like that. But you remember,
short of that, yeah, I'll ask him for you, okay?
Please.
All right, thank you, and good morning. Half-hour point. Yes, Ed Dames, about 30 minutes from now. It's going to be grim.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 6, 2001.
Good morning. It's great to be here. This night, Major Ed Dames will be here, about 25 minutes or so, and it really is going to be a wild one. Get the kiddies away. I'm giving you fair warning right now. Yes, I too can become a legally ordained minister, as this fellow is. And I wonder then if I can make other ministers. Can ministers make ministers? Here it seems to indicate so. I thought it took at least a bishop. Anyway, apparently I can. For $29.95, I can do all kinds of religious stuff. Sounds like a real bargain, huh? They didn't mean to write this, I know, as a joke. But it when you read it, the way they wrote it, it kind of comes out that way. Weddings. Marry your brother, sister, and your best friend. Don't settle for being the best man's bride or bridesmaid. Best man or bridesmaid. Huh. Don't settle for this. Don't settle for that. Do it yourself. They may have a point. By the way, the winds are blowing here in the desert fiendishly, 30 to 40 miles an hour. We're really getting it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sue from Rockport, New York.
Okay.
It's near Buffalo.
Oh, yes, of course.
Listen to you on WBEN.
Right.
I have a question for you. I have a suggestion, actually, for a guest. Have you heard of John Edwards?
Yes.
Have you ever had him on?
You're talking about from the other side, the sci-fi
yes.
channel TV show, right?
Yes.
You know, it's funny. I called over there, and I finally talked to somebody in John Edwards' office, and they said, oh, he's busy until summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he must be really busy.
Very, very popular.
A lot of communication these days from the other side.
Yes, and if you're not a believer, I think you would be after you listen to him.
Well, maybe when I get my minister's certificate.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, well, anyway.
I have another quick question. You
yes.
know that song, Rockabye Baby, that you put on?
Yes, it tortures you, doesn't it?
Who sings that? It's beautiful.
I know.
Do you know who sings it?
No.
Okay, you probably
no,
didn't tell
no,
me.
I,
okay.
That's an honest answer. I really don't know.
Oh, I think that is beautiful.
It is. It's
Rockabye Baby.
Oh.
That one, right?
Yes.
You have no idea. I played that, and I have, like, I bet I have 100 emails over time saying, that song's driving me out of my mind.
Oh,
what is it?
It's so neat.
Cradle of Love, I call it. Cradle Will Rock, I think, is the name of it.
Cradle Will Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it might... Is it Johnny Preston? It might be. I don't know. I don't know well enough to tell you, so...
You think it's from the 50s?
I do.
Yeah?
Yep.
It sounds kind of like it.
It is, yeah. I think it's 50-ish.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, it happened to me. It happened to my wife, and I didn't really remember the song, but it started going around in my head, and then, you know, you find you wake up in the middle of the night, and you're kind of mouthing the words, singing it, and it's driving you out of your mind. That's why I play it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Mike from Alberta, Canada.
How you doing, Mike?
Not bad. Listen on Como tonight, and we can also get you on QR77, but it's not till 1 in the morning.
Ah.
Anyway, I didn't hear the first few hours last night. Did you talk about those mysterious lights in southwest United States?
Yes, but we have no definitive answer on what it was. And as of yet, I don't have anybody who took photos, but I think I know why. They said that these things were about as bright as stars. Now,
meteorite.
Now, taking any camera or... Yeah, but they said it's like a whole star field was moving. There were thousands of them moving against a fixed star field. Pretty impressive. But if you take out the average video camera or the average camera, something which is as bright as a star just doesn't show up.
Right, right, because I was going to stop last Friday night when Northern Lights were so spectacular, but my camera that I carry, one of those throwaway ones, I don't think if the shutter would have stayed open long enough to get the full effect.
Yeah, not a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a chance. We got a few really spectacular photographs that people did send us of the glowing red sky that we had.
Oh, yeah, like up here, I was south of Edmonton when it was on. And it was red and green and purple and yellow. It was wild.
I have a lot of messages from American natives who say that was not a good thing. Glowing red skies at night are not good.
Yeah. Okay, one other thing. You said when you were going to reconfigure the telephones, we were going to be able to call the east of the Rockies or west of the Rockies from Canada.
Yes, and you are able to do that now.
No, we can't from Alberta.
Are you kidding me?
No, I try every night. And,
you try east of the Rockies, right?
Yeah, 1-800-0533. Is that the last three numbers?
No.
Well, I don't have it off the top of my head.
It's 1-800-825-5033.
Yeah, okay, but I mean, I have it. I tried it, and we still can't get through.
Well, we'll get hold of somebody in the phone company and bring their little necks.
Yeah.
That's all I can do. Will, from Toronto, huh?
No, from Alberta.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alberta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Right. Thank you very much. See, we're having a real time with the phone company. You wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. Maybe you would. It's like we've got to tell them each city. Alberta is east of the Rockies. Please put that in the computer program. Vancouver is west of the Rockies. Please put that in the computer program. For the most part, I think we've got it taken care of, but it also applies to the international line. And some countries can get through. Other countries are totally unable to, and I keep getting emails about it. So we need your help internationally. Great Britain, we know, can get through. Australia, we know, can get through. Other countries, Korea cannot get through. Japan apparently cannot get through. So we need Hong Kong, we know, can get through. Some, it just kind of depends. But more countries than not seem as though they cannot get through. So, I don't know, keep trying. If you're out there in the world somewhere, call us. 800-893-0903. Worst case scenario, get hold of the AT&T operator and she'll tell you how to do it. Probably. 800-893-0903. We are all being collectively punished for breaking up the phone company. This is a form of punishment for us all. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
I wanted to tell you, this is Marcia in Van Buren, Arkansas, listening on KWHN 1320.
That's the way to do it.
Thank you. I did want to tell you to save your money.
Why?
You don't have to pay a thing to become an ordained minister. I've been one for 3.5 years.
And it's free?
Yes.
I thought $29.95 was a pretty doggone...
No.
But to see if I... How do I get my certificate? I want my certificate.
I can give you a website to go to, and you will become an ordained minister, download your credentials from the website.
And I got to print them out myself, I guess, huh? Who signs them? What good is your certificate if it's not signed?
Okay, I can also give you the mail address. You can do it by snail mail, and you receive the credentials through snail mail. But it's free either way.
And then you get signed credentials?
Yes. The only fee is when you take them to your county clerk's office, have them recorded. You've got to do that before you can perform weddings or funerals.
Well, I'm trying to decide between weddings and baptisms, which would be more fun.
Believe me, the weddings.
Weddings?
Oh, yes.
Huh.
That's a very joyous occasion. Of course, baptisms are fun, too, but then you've got the baby there. Unless you're talking about baptizing adults. But you can do it all.
Forgiveness of sin?
Mm-hmm.
Visiting correctional facilities. Now, there's been something I've been wishing for all my life. I've been wanting to tour prisons all over America.
This would be the way to do it. This would give you the open door. No, seriously, I think you would approve of the doctrine of this church. It believes in only one thing.
Money?
That which is right.
What?
That which is right. And every person has the right to interpret for him or herself what is right, as long as it doesn't interfere with the rights of others. You talk about a libertarian religion.
Well, I guess that's what attracted me to it. In other words, you can do just about anything, and you can help people out. It really doesn't cost much of anything, and you're in a whole new world.
And I do identify myself as a minister, not as a preacher.
Let me hear something. Try to put some sincerity into this, all right?
Okay.
Hey, Brother Bell.
Good evening, Brother Bell. I am so proud to meet you.
That does have a ring to it.
Actually, through our church, you can use reverend. You can obtain several different titles. You can become a bishop.
Would brother be all right, though?
Brother would be fine.
Bishop seems a little pretentious to start off with.
Well, how about cardinal?
Well, that's the same deal.
Or you can call yourself Reverend Bell.
Brother Bell. I like Brother Bell.
Well, Brother Art, if you really want to get down home.
I see. Brother Art.
Now, I can't.
All right, well, I'll put
Mr.
in the gold fixtures and we'll be in business.
Well, I was going to say, if you'll take me off the air, I can give you the website to go to.
I can
give you the snail mail address.
No, just email it to me. I can't take you off the air because I'm the only one here, despite what everybody who calls seems to think of. I'm the only one here.
Oh, I know you're the only one. I was wondering if you could hold me till a break and then come back on and get the
information. Well, that's a long time. So if you would just be so kind as to email me, I'll take it from there.
I will try to get to a computer, but I think you'll like this church. They've been in existence for a long time. This isn't something new.
All right. The Church of Long Existence. But I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of having a real frameable certificate, you know, that's signed. I had to actually pay for it. It's only $29.95, and you can do so much. I mean, you pay for it your first visit to a correctional facility. You paid for it, right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Dan in Idaho Falls.
Yes, Dan. Hi.
I'm the lead scientist on the Supernova Project.
A Supernova Project?
Yes.
That sounds like it means a project to cause our sun to go supernova.
No, just the opposite.
To prevent our sun from going supernova. Well,
yes.
You've got some work to do, and you better get at it, because we've been having some damn serious flares here lately, and I'm a little concerned.
I'd like to tell you what the situation is.
Probably dire. I imagine it's rather dire, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
The neutrino intensity went to extreme late last month, and... A group called Majestic 12 with the U.S. government.
Oh, I know MJ-12.
Managing the sun since November 1999.
How do you manage the sun?
you throw materials into the photosphere.
I mean, we got guys here who can't even manage insurance companies. You know, they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars because they're giving discount rates to bad drivers. So how do you manage the sun?
They load reverse-engineered UFOs up with materials.
Yeah.
They fly them one way into the photosphere of the sun and blow them up. This releases materials in the photosphere, which manage the sun. You see, it's the science of pons and Fleischmann. It's needed to understand what's going on in the sun.
Cold fusion?
Cold fusion.
So we could call this cold fusion meets hot fusion.
It's cold fusion and nucleon exchange reactions.
But that's really what it is. Cold fusion meets hot fusion, right? Because that's what the sun is.
Yeah.
The sun is hot fusion.
Nuclear reactions happen two places in the sun, in the photosphere
and in the core. It's the rough equivalent, then, of throwing a glass of water on the coals to stop the fire on your barbecue.
No, we change the bad elements into other elements by nucleon exchange reactions.
Well, I know, but I was simplifying it for the audience.
Anyhow, last week they had to go to four times the number of materials they were putting in.
Well, how are they launching these things? Because it seems like we would notice. You know, we have this military, wonderful military machine that notices when things launch from Earth. So how could they secretly be launching this?
Majestic 12 is military, the top military of the U.S.
Mm. Good point. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate it, and keep up the good work. But we just had an X5 flare. I'm trying to get Keith to put the sun monitor thing back on our website. We're looking for room for it. You know, the website is pretty tightly packed right now. But there's so much going on in the sun that I think that all of you ought to have an opportunity, at least while it's this active, to check it whenever you want. We're just coming off the curve of an X5 flare. That's a pretty damn big flare. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, is this Art?
It is.
Oh, my goodness. Please hold just a second. I want to turn my radio off.
Oh, good for you. Good, good caller. As long as it's not in the other room somewhere. Which sounds like it might be.
Art, you there?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, hey, man. Gosh darn. Great to get through to you. I've been listening to you since 1993 when I was trucking through Washington, Oregon, Canada. And I just hope your wife, Ramona, and hey, how's Comet and the other cat?
They're asleep on the magnetic mattress pad in the next room.
Cool. I'll try and be brief here. I'm just talking to you by candlelight here because I'm kind of saving energy and stuff. But I just wanted to get to the shadow people. But first, I wanted to relate a little something to you about a UFO I saw back in '87, November. It was a large metallic it was huge. It just cruised. I'm Scott and feeling and I just am like about 100 miles or a little bit better than 100 miles southwest of Pahrump. I used to work in Pahrump, working on mobile homes and stuff. And I was there before they put that stop right in there, stop sign. I mean,
all right, you're drifting a little here. The 87 UFO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a large metallic disc. Kind of goldish around, kind of a goldish tint to it,
oh.
And it just was huge. And there was somebody else with me when I saw it, and so I knew I wasn't just seeing some. So he didn't see it at first, and I say, man, you know, look north from here, keep looking north because I just saw something out of the corner of my eye, and it just went jamming. And we looked down there, and it just did a. It didn't need to do this. It kind of like winked or waved at us. It just kind of did a
kind of like when a plane wiggles its wings in
yeah.
recognition, right? It wiggled
yeah, exactly.
its little sides.
Yeah, yeah. It just kind of maneuvered like that. Just like a not a victory roll, but kind of waving the wings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just
sort of a yo ho humans.
Pardon?
Sort of a yo-ho humans.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, okay.
It was rather comical because I didn't, I was thinking these people might, these folks, wherever they're from or from a future or like, you know, but they, it wasn't relevant or, I mean, it wasn't pertinent for them to do that, it was just almost comical. They were just like going, "Hey, man, you know."
Yeah.
And then another road trip. I'm just north of Edwards, when George Air Force Base was there back in '87. I'm just north there, about 8 miles. And after I saw that, I kept my eyes peeled north.
And
they all of a sudden, now, this is no kidding. It was like a spiral little dot of white.
Were you kidding about what the first one you told me?
Oh, heck no.
All right.
No, well, come on, Art. No.
I presume you wouldn't be kidding me about this one then, all right?
No way.
No. All right, so anyway, you've got some
first-class stuff.
Yep, first-class stuff.
And it was...
And you've got pictures, right?
Oh, I wish I had a camera.
Well, see, now, damn it, to have first-class stuff, you've really got to have proof. So... probably what you have is second class stuff, but that's all right.
All right.
I mean, you saw it, right?
Well, heck yeah, I did. And I'm not, any kind of these people that are calling people nutty just because they see things that are unusual. But anyway, make a long story short.
Good, because I'm almost out of time.
Oh, well, gosh darn it. Okay. Well, let me get back to the shadow people then, real quick.
Shadow people?
Yeah. I got in an accident. I was driving through this little market deal, and. All of a sudden...
You got into an accident?
Yeah.
You're not from New Jersey, right?
I hear your music in the background. I know I got to be quick. So, no, I'm...
You're not quick enough, sir. I got to go. Thank you for the call. Have a good morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired April 6, 2001.
It is indeed, and I actually wish to issue now a serious warning so that you can't say I didn't tell you so. Perhaps even a great deal of the material that you're going to hear tonight is going to be scary, disturbing, upsetting. We're going to have Major Ed Dames, who was part of the U.S. military's remote viewing program, the official remote viewing program revealed on Nightline now years ago, and has gone into private practice, as it were, and now runs something called technical remote viewing. And he told me earlier this week that it was going to be a grim night. So I'm giving you the grim warning. And that is, if this kind of thing disturbs you, and or your children, and or relatives, or your dog, or your cat, then turn it off now. There, you have been warned. So, in a moment, by the way, we've got a new ghost photograph up there. And I don't know why I like this one. I reject an awful lot of them that are sort of smoky because it ends up looking like cigarette smoke, but I don't think so in this case. This is a photograph of a gravestone. And I think what you see in the photograph in front of this gravestone is not at all cigarette smoke. I think it's, well, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's ectoplasm, what people call ectoplasm. I have no idea, but it's pretty doggone eerie, and so I put it up there for you. And it does also appear to be in the vague shape of a, well, maybe not so vague, actually. Now, the more I look at it, it looks like a ghost. It's in front of a gravestone, and it's at night. Why people do that, I don't know. Go to grave sites at night in the dark. It doesn't seem like the brightest thing to do. Incidentally, we are going to have the people who do the ghost electronic voice, EVP it's called, electronic voice phenomena, from the other side on the air again. Probably around April 24th, as I continue to book guests a lot that you don't know about, even that Keith doesn't know about yet. I've got a whole bunch of them. Anyway, they are coming back by, certainly by popular demand. I would think on the 24th we'll find out for sure. So in a moment, his co-workers affectionately dubbed him Dr. Doom, with good reason, Major Ed Dane. Through the crack of thunder comes Major Ed Dames. Ed, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm here in the City of the Angels tonight.
In L.A., huh?
In L.A.
So it's good to have you close by.
Oh, thanks.
That way, if something really big happens, you'll be included.
I didn't think about it that way, but...
All right. Ed, before we start on anything else, last week we had... we had a sun flare, Ed, actually earlier this week. Last week we had one that produced aurora as far south as Mexico, the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico. I mean, it's unheard of. That was followed then by what we believe was an X-22 flare, which would be the largest sun flare the sun has ever, ever produced. About an hour before we came on the air tonight, we just had an X-5 flare. But this big one that we had, this monster flare, absolutely would qualify, I'm not saying it is, but it certainly would qualify, in anybody's opinion, as a shot across the bow, big time. Was that? Do you think that might have been the shot across the bow?
That's the term that I had used as a technical remote viewer for an over-the-horizon event, over-the-horizon in time. Technical remote viewing can look over the horizon when it's used in a professional manner.
Right.
For an event that was produced by our sun, and it would not be what we call, what we termed this event, the one that just happened, and we do believe this is the one, the precursor, the shot across the bow for what we termed a precursor for a kill shot. A kill shot meaning it would eventuate in the loss of life, including human life.
So this may be the precursor. But again, knowing that it's very hard to time down get exact timelines nailed down, it could still be a while before we get the main event. Or having just now had the precursor, can you then know more about the timeline for the main event?
I don't have a good sense of the timeline, but I can tell you now that the next one up is the kill shot. So this was indeed the shot across the bow, Art. It was a warning shot. Now, again, the value of our skill is the one of the values is to act as an indicator and warning system for things over the horizon. As early as 10 years ago, actually almost 14 years ago, my military team was picking up the idea of dying babies. I had talked about this on your show as
dying
four
babies.
Years ago.
Yes, you're correct.
And we investigated that as practice targets, because as you know, we were a military team, and this was not within the charter of the Department of Defense to look at these kinds of things. But as the training and operations officer, I could slip the team a Mickey now and then. And I investigated this when I took remote viewing public in 1989 and 1990 and formed the commercial team. We continued to look at this in an attempt to discern what was happening out in the out years, the out years being just about here right now.
Right.
And it seemed to us that what was happening was a disease that was finding its way into cow's milk. That was our best guess.
I remember.
But what I believe now that we're closer to it and it's clearer to us as remote viewers is that, in fact, it is not necessarily a disease that's in cow's milk. It's no milk at all.
No milk?
No milk at all, because there are no cows. Instead of a disease infecting the milk, what 14 years ago, that was the analysis was not perfect. And what we're seeing now is that, what we're realizing now is that the disease is not in the milk. The disease is what kills cows.
Cows.
Takes them down. So there is no milk for babies. And that is why many human babies starve.
Are we talking about mad cow disease or foot and mouth, whatever it is that's going on out there right now? Mad cow seems the most likely culprit at the moment.
I'm not sure that. I think that it's rather a moot point in terms of what we see. We just see cows going down from disease. Whatever that disease is at this juncture, I think it's too late to stop it. And I mean, who would have ever imagined that in a shorter period of time, 6 months, there's no meat to eat in the United Kingdom, and now Western Europe is. Is eating horse meat and dogs.
Well, there is meat to eat. It's just that people aren't eating it, for the most part, in Europe. And can you blame them?
I can't blame them. But what I'm saying, Art, is that although there's that danger that's recognized, there is indeed going to be no meat.
You know, I think, Ed, if people are honest with themselves and they review what you said, lo now, all those years ago, the fact that we've had this super flare, this shot across the bow, and it really is that. It missed Earth, but it's like a shot across the bow. Couldn't have been clearer. And now we've got mad cow disease, and it does come close enough to what you originally said, in my opinion, to qualify as a hit. You know, that's not bad, Ed. That's really not bad when you're talking about and predicting events on that kind of scale. That's not bad.
Well, Art, we're saying now that there's going to be no milk, and that's really critical for mothers to consider. You know, think about how you're going to feed your child. You are either going to breastfeed or you need a milk substitute. That's why we're doing this, as an alert to herald events that are coming. But it gets worse. There's worse things in the middle there.
Worse.
Because if there's no meat to eat, then we turn to plant proteins, correct?
Well, some of us do. Some of us would rather die.
The ones that don't, the ones like you that refuse to eat earthworms and chlorella, green algae.
Oh, God, earthworms.
The problem that we're seeing now is that there really is, in short order, a massive die-off of food plants, of food crops, Art. And it appears to be from mold, from fungi. I mentioned in earlier shows the 33, 34-odd species of claviceps, the mold that's found on grasses. And there is at least one mold that goes through a good deal of grains and grasses like stuffed mm-hmm. through a goose worldwide very, very quickly. And so, at the same time, right on the heels of massive die-offs, or actually slaughter of beef and goats and sheep, comes this massive die-off of plants via this fungi. And so we're in a little bit of trouble here. And I say this because children are going to suffer, children the most. If there's no milk, there's no food. And this is what we saw 14 years ago in terms of a real problem, human babies dying on a mass scale.
Boy, has it been that long, Ed? 14 years.
It's been 14 years since the military team. I've been teaching this for 18, but
yes.
4 years into my tenure as an operations and training officer for the military psychic intelligence collection unit, we began to pick these ideas up.
Well, I've had
if there's any question about accuracy, I want you to watch this summer. I just got through filming the revival of In Search Of that will be purchased by Fox and air. The first episode this summer will air. Very excellent example of the Technical Remote Viewing Institute at work. You will never have seen anything like this. One of my, in the classroom, this television crew came in and essentially asked us, we would like they wanted to give us a test, remote viewing test. I said, anything you want, anything at all.
Right.
They chose a target and followed one of my teachers in training. Just one, not at my team, not my A team, but just one teacher in training.
Right.
My one student, Aaron Donahue, from start to finish on an unknown target. That's what will air this summer, and that will knock your socks off.
In Search Of, huh?
In Search Of has been resurrected. Remember the old program by Alan Landsberg, produced by that? It was the grandfather of all the paranormal shows. Very, had a popular following. And that has been resurrected and bought by Fox TV.
They're bringing back a whole lot of the old shows, Ed.
Well, this is a revival. It's very, very nice. Top Gun, top-notch show. We're in the first episode on this, and you'll see the kind of excellence that I'm talking about. I started this institute.
The Sci-Fi Channel is bringing back The Outer Limits. There's going to be 22 brand new episodes, and I'm going to have the producer on shortly, but that's amazing. So they're all coming back, and when do you know when it's going to air?
It'll be in prime time on Fox, and I don't have the air date yet. All we know is the summer right now, and we're in the first episode.
So they gave you a no-holds-barred test.
I told them, give us whatever you want, anything. They said anything. I said anything that you want, and the sky's the limit. So they chose one of my advanced students who is now a teacher. A new teacher on the streets, Aaron Donahue. He's also on my A team. My A team is being used to find a child's body in Oregon right now. We have a positive ID on her murderer, and we have a positive ID on her body's location. So I'll talk to you more about.
But you're telling me though that in this program, your student at that time or teacher hit it right on the money.
Not just right on the money, but actually named the target.
Name the target.
By name. And no one can do that outside of the Institute. The expertise does not reside anywhere else. And that's the result of more than 20 years of work. A lot of mistakes, but a lot of knowledge gained. And it pays off, as you'll see on this program. That will put to rest any doubt in anyone's mind about the capabilities of technical remote viewing and my institute.
Well, I never doubted, Ed. I really never did doubt. I don't know why. I just never doubted. I felt all along this was real. And I think recent events, in fact, I've been getting a lot of stories on fungus. I mean, some bad stories on fungus. Fungus in development that could kill all plant life on Earth, those kind of stories. I've actually been getting them. I've read them to the audience. Now, Ed, everybody is going to ask, and does ask, because I've got a lot of new audience, what is remote viewing, and specifically technical remote viewing? Can you give us the real quick version?
I can give you the quick down and dirty. Remote viewing, in its purest form, is the ability to gain information about a person, a place, a thing, or an event, or to solve a problem through the use of one's unconscious mind. It can be used as a hobby. I'll mention later in the program our new kit, MindDazzle. If you want to prove to yourself that it works, that you can do that for yourself by using a remote viewing kit. And that's a breakthrough in and of itself. But professionally done, a remote viewer can well, let me give you an example. What we're doing now is pinpointing a murdered child's body. And we have already gotten a positive identification on the child's murderer. This is after the police have absolutely lost all leads completely. So we were able to do that. The unconscious part of our mind is part of a greater mind.
And all this can be done through time and space.
That's correct. Mind is outside time and space. Think of it as the fifth dimension. With time as the fourth dimension, mind would be the fifth dimension. And it looks down on time and space. It looks to the left by convention to the past, to the right by convention to the future. So it's one panoply of events down there. And the signal strength, so to speak, of an event in the future is just as strong as one in the past. So if we were to look at, let's say, the largest dinosaur that ever lived in Earth's Jurassic era, there
right.
can only be one largest. And all trained remote viewers would produce data and accurate sketches and models using modeling a compound of that particular animal. And that signal would be just as strong as the signal of the location of this child's body that we're after in real time, in this era.
Okay, and again, the only thing that I know that you and people just like you struggle with all the time are timelines. They're the most difficult of all to nail down. You say an event will happen, and then a year or two will go by, and you've sort of taken an educated guess at a timeline. And if there are errors in remote viewing, it's not the target, but it's the time of the event.
The best analogy, that's correct, and the best, it is a bugbear for remote viewing. There's one other, but that one is it. But what we can do is very accurately describe the nature of what is coming next. So,
yes.
For instance, the best analogy would be if one were to look in the distance at a mountain. If you're a remote viewer and you're looking in the distance at a large mountain, you can very accurately describe that mountain, but you may not be able to judge the distance. And then in back of it, you might see an even larger feature. And you know that that's next after this. So that's a good analogy for the X-22 flare that we call the shot across the bow and what's coming next, which is what we call a kill shot.
Yep. All right. Hold it right there. By the way, 9393 that produced that is behind the sun now. She'll be coming around the mountain or the sun in about 30 days, now less. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 6, 2001. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 6, 2001.
It is indeed. Good morning. Well, how could it have been anything else when you really think about it? This was the biggest shot the sun has ever taken. In all the recording, all the history we've got, if it's X-22 or better, and that's what they're saying, would be the biggest shot the sun has ever taken. It missed Earth by just a little bit. Actually, it caused some effects here on Earth. If that's not a shot across the bow, then I don't know what is. It qualifies in every way. By the way, everybody, remember Maggie? You know Maggie, right?
Hello, everybody. I'm the dancer of the sea. This is Maggie. You want to take a ride?
Ah, that's our Maggie. And we've got a new photograph of Maggie up on the website. That's another reason. We've got the cemetery ghost. We've got a new picture of Maggie holding up Daddy's tower. Daddy put up a new tower, and there is Maggie in the middle of the desert holding the tower up, so it would seem. And then below that, we have a demonstration of why my new alien, the one that Rush sent me, was called Carvel. We have absolute evidence of why it was called Carvel. So you now have several reasons. Make it up to my website quickly. www.artbell.com. Take a look. All right, back to the rough stuff and Major Ed Dames. All right, Ed. I know we've got a lot we've got to cover tonight. You told me once that you weren't going to do any more murders. You weren't going to do any more of that stuff because it was just too depressing, remember?
I did.
And yet here you are still at work at it.
I did some real soul-searching, Art, and I thought, well, you know, we've got this powerful tool, and we can use it any way we want. We could go after the Lost Dutchman mine or some other hidden treasures and make a lot of money, do that kind of stuff. And I kind of sat on the mountain one day and thought about this. Actually, it was a beach. And I thought, what's the most valuable treasure to go after? And that's when the answer was just popped into my mind. The most valuable treasure is a child's life. And I realized that there was only one way to go after that. So I've decided to, we have a public service project. We don't take reward money. We just do it. And I have an A-team that's the best in the world. Right now, we're going to do one at a time. Our goal is to get a child before they're hurt, and we have not been able to achieve that yet. Right now, we're about ready to retrieve the body of the child. And what we're after is, to, now that we have this excellence that we can find anything, anywhere, we want to be able to speed the process up so that we can get them while they're still alive, and that's my goal.
All right. One of the things that you promised that you were going to do for me was that you were going to... We had a picture of what were called skunk apes up on the website.
You did indeed.
In fact, I'm looking for them now, and I can't find them. They're probably in what's older here, but I don't see them. Where are my skunk apes? We'll try and get the skunk apes back up there. Anyway, I did ask you to take a look at what those were. Having a photograph is a good way, I guess, to go and remote view something, correct?
It's an excellent way, but it pertains to that particular event only. For instance, in the last week or so, you and your guest have been talking about shadow people.
Oh, boy, have we been talking about it. Do you have something on shadow people?
I don't, but I can have it. But this is the way it must be done in using technical remote viewing technology.
I know I should have called you. I knew it. Go ahead.
Well, we can do it, but this is what I need from you or one of your listeners, and they can send it to you, or they can hit the Technical Remote Viewing Institute button on your website and get to me. This is what they need to do. I need, and it would be good if you selected it, I need an example, one example of one event where one person said that they unambiguously perceived what they're calling a shadow person.
Really? Is that what you need?
I need that.
Well, why don't I let you select it, Ed? You do have an email address, don't you?
You can email, you can find me at remoteviewing.la.
Remote? Oh, that's a new one, isn't it?
It is. Remoteviewing.la. And that'll get you to me. It also will get you to our Mind Dazzle link.
Now, wait a minute. That's not an email. Is that a web address or what?
You can find my email address there.
Well, yeah, but that wouldn't be a...
Okay. You want it? Here it is. eddames@scispymaster.com.
Ooh. Wait a minute. I've never had this. Ed Dames...
That's my private email address. At scispymaster.
At PSI?
Yes.
PSI...
Spymaster.
Spymaster...
.com.
All right. So everybody who's had an experience with these shadow people should email Ed Dames with exactly what happened. And I'm going to give this email address again. This is my Christmas present to you, Ed. Email your experience to Ed Dames. We'll let him decide. Maybe you can take several of them, Ed, and take a look at several of them and come up with something. In
that's
a
what we would actually do. We would conduct what we call a remote viewing probe and hit several of them and see what we're dealing with. Get an idea of what we're dealing with before we go into it in any detail.
Oh, now you're cooking, partner. All right, now let me be sure and give this to everybody. Ed Dames, that's E-D-D-A-M-E-S, at P-S-I, spymaster.com. Ed Dames at P-S-I, spymaster.com. Pretty cool email address, actually. All right. Good luck to you, Ed. And so I presume then in the next program we do, you will have an answer on the shadow people.
We will, if we have a specific example, because it's too ambiguous to take that term, which is a coined term, and do anything with it in short order. But looking at discrete specific events that people have, we can immediately determine, or fairly quickly, whether it was a subjective or objective event or both, and then get into the details and get back to you on what we're dealing with.
If I knew Ed had to forward 4,000 emails, I would send you a real surprise. Anyway, I don't know how to do that, so you'll have to get them one at a time, which you now will. All right, a lady called me, before we move on, a lady called me earlier, made me promise to ask you a question tonight. She said she thought that groundwater was always best, that, you know, aquifer water, water way down that's filtered through the earth. And she had heard you say something about, no, surface water would be the better way to go if, you know, the bad times start coming. Did you say that, in fact, or not?
Several years ago, I specifically said that the surface water to the west of Glacier National Park in that region there was extremely clean and would be a good spot to be in case of a disaster. The reason that aquifers are not a reliable source is because that water is pumped up art and sent through water filtration plants, which
right.
require electricity to run. The filtration devices require electricity. If there's no power, you're not going to have clean water. You'll have at all. That's the reason I said that. But there are a couple of spots in this country that are very hot, and the aquifers are at this moment are not clean. For instance, the Snake River, the Lost River Sinks. The Lost River Sinks is an area near the old atomic energy dump in Idaho, where nuclear reactors from the original submarines, the Nautilus and others, their reactors are, it's a boneyard for old atomic and nuclear reactors. Many of them have been buried at the old, now Department of Energy, old Atomic Energy Commission graveyard, boneyard there, but
right.
the radiation has leaked into the aquifers. The aquifers, the plume, the radioactive plumes underground, have leaked into the Lost River.
Right.
The Lost River feeds into the Columbia, and the Columbia, you know, where the Columbia River flows to the sea. So people, particularly children that live along those rivers, need to take some iodine tablets because they're going to have some thyroid problems if they keep drinking the water out of there. That river is hot. And if you don't believe me, check it out. Just do some research, and you'll find that the radiation levels in those rivers are not being reported by the Department of Energy because a lot of people would be up in arms if they found out how hot those rivers were. So that's just one example.
Hmm. All right. Let's go ahead and jump on a serious one here. You wrote this, and I can't...
That wasn't serious?
Oh, no. Isn't that serious? All right. You wrote what Father Malachi Martin knew but would not say. I don't want to give it away. Father Malachi Martin knew something but would not say. Actually, he knew quite a few things that he would not say. And you're saying that you know now what it is he knew. How do you know that?
Through remote viewing, Art, and through some indirect contact and some direct contact with Father Malachi Martin before he died. I think you remember the show that we did.
Of course I do.
Long ago, I talked to him. And after that show was over, where you arranged for Malachi Martin and I to have a discussion on your program, he called me and asked if I would help him on a few very intractable cases where he was not sure whether one of his subjects was possessed or whether he was dealing with a psychosomatic illness or both.
Yeah, I must tell my audience, I did put Father Martin and Ed Dames together on a program. A lot of you probably didn't hear it. I expected serious sparks to fly, and it didn't work out that way at all, which was a real shock. There was a kind of a meeting of the minds, really. It was an excellent program and a surprising program. At any rate, I had no idea he had contacted you later.
Yes, he contacted me for reasons, aforementioned reasons. And the bottom line on that show was I managed to convince Father Martin that you don't, one does not leave their spirituality behind, their ethics and their morals behind when you engage in remote viewing. It's still there. That's all. And he understood that. He was afraid that it somehow bent your mind rather than expanded your mind.
That's right.
So, but what he didn't tell on his last show with you, what he didn't say to your listening audience was essentially that he did mention, vis-a-vis the third secret of Fatima and other things, that there were some unimaginable, unspeakable horrors ahead, and he did not elaborate. One can understand why. What good would it have done to scare people? That's not his job anyway. It's mine. What good would it have done to really? He had no solution, so and he didn't want to say. So
yes, I think that's right. He didn't want to say, and what little he did say about the third secret was that if you can imagine the worst, it's worse than that. Then the Catholic Church released the so-called third secret of Fatima, and it was nothing more than a prediction they claimed about a pope being or an assassination attempt on a pope. And I think almost everybody knows that they didn't give us the rest of the story, as Paul would say, that we didn't get the whole thing at all.
I think that this is my opinion only. I think that perhaps the church withheld part of that or edited the information because it would have left many people without hope. Because what Malachi Martin believed was that allegorically, the gates of hell were going to swing open. And one of the things he knew, and one of the things the Catholic Church knows, I'm sure, is that harking back to these things that lie in our immediate future, that is, no food, we're going to see cannibalism because there's nothing left to eat except things like salient green. That is what you're going to see, and that is what Malachi Martin saw, and he did not want to talk about that.
Cannibalism?
Human cannibalism, yes.
Well, I suppose if the meat goes, the veggies go, and the milk goes, yeah, I guess it could get to that. It certainly happened to human beings before, and you're telling me that because of what you are saying, we are going to get there. Mass cannibalism?
I'd say a good deal of cannibalism. You'll see it in the underdeveloped countries and then the countries where you'll see it in Eastern Europe. You'll see it I don't want to mention all the countries. It'll become self-evident, but that is what Father Malachi Martin was referring to, one of the things.
That he knew and never would say and never did say.
That's right. And the reason I'm saying it is because there is a solution to this if you prepare now. And you're not going to like this. I mentioned it once before. And it's this. Because of all the rotting vegetation, the detritus that goes into the soil, what animal loves rotting detritus and eats it? Earthworms.
Oh.
And earthworms are a great source of protein. If you combine that with green algae, especially chlorella and spirulina.
Chlorella, you've mentioned that before.
And spirulina, they are not going to be affected by fungi that will hit mostly nitrogen-fixing plants. And so if one prepares ahead of time, the Japanese are prepared. They've been eating not necessarily as merely a food supplement, but as a food for a long time, chlorella. And you can still, that has all the amino acids that a human being needs if you're willing to have a rather unpalatable, bland diet day after day.
Now, I might be able to eat some chlorella, even though it sounds lousy.
You know what? You'll like this part. Your cat will love it.
Well, I don't care. Well, I care about my cat, but I mean, it's got to be palatable for me. So, all right, so I could probably handle chlorella, but it's
chlorella,
big. But no, not the earthworms, Ed.
You need to get protein from somewhere else. You'll have all the necessary building blocks to rebuild cells in your body.
What about a fish? What about fish from the ocean? Are the oceans going to
Oceans are going to die, Art. The oceans are going to die. At least a good deal of the ocean life is going to go real fast. Remember, I mentioned that this natural logarithmic curve, that it's not a bell curve like you learned in high school. It's a straight up curve.
Yes.
And once it starts, it's
very
fast.
It's going to be very fast. Yes.
We were 2 years ago in terms of disease. I said, watch out for disease. It's next. I said we were at this dog leg in this natural logarithmic curve, and we're ready to go almost straight vertical. We're going vertical now. We're no longer at that dog leg. So
yeah,
these things happen.
Got to really say this, Ed, and everybody in the listening audience, there are a lot of people who hate your guts. They hate you because you have predicted these kinds of things, and years ago you predicted them, and I hate to say it, but you hit it on the head with the sun. You hit it on the head with disease and the kind of disease affecting cows. You hit all that really right on the head, and any reasonable person, I think, has to admit that right now. And if that's the beginning of the curve, and the curve is straight up, then I think you've got to be listened to based on what you have said would happen and has already begun to happen. People have got to listen to you. Let them get angry if they want to, but they've got to listen.
Well, I think this Fox show on prime time will go very far to show people how powerful these techniques are. You can learn them yourself. You don't have to listen to me. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, you've got a new kit out, right?
If you want to pursue remote viewing as a hobby, you can do it with this kit. Which the kit is a phenomenal thing. It will become a phenomenon a la Harry Potter because it right out of the box, you're going to show yourself that this works. And there's unambiguously, this thing works. And the kit is also something else. It has 200 sealed envelopes in it with these target cards, target photographs.
Does it?
It does. Prior to the kit hitting the streets, one would have to go to a university, a parapsychology laboratory, to assess their ability of natural psychic function or that of their relatives or friends. This will essentially pull the plug on all the parapsychology laboratories because it's a set of 200 standard cards that everyone can use and judge their own ability, but everyone will be able to learn how to remote view with this thing.
Well, everybody, Ed sent me this kit the other day. It arrived, and my wife looked at it and said, hey, I'm going to try that. And it's in the other room. I'll tell you what I'll do, Ed. I'll go out during the break, which is now bearing down on us quickly, and I'll get it, and I'll take a webcam photo of it, and so people can see it. It really is kind of a neat kit. I'm not a guy for remote viewing. I think we've almost figured that out over the years. I'm unlikely to try it, but my wife has decided she's going to do it. So I will go out during the break, Ed, grab that, and bring it in here and take a webcam photo of it. Hold on, Ed. We're at the top of the hour. In fact, I'll do that right now. It's in the living room. But she looked at that and she said, whoa, that really looks neat. I'm going to give it a try. For me, I don't really want to know. There's something about it. I haven't quite figured it out. For example, my own death, which could be viewed. I could go ahead and view my own death, as could you. I don't want to know. For some reason, I haven't put it all together yet. But I'll go get that kit here. In fact, we'll take a photo of it. Coming right up. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001. listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 6, 2001.
Well, this is pretty serious news. It's going to get so bad with the beef gone, the vegetables gone, everything that we might otherwise eat gone, that Ed says what Father Martin didn't say and wouldn't say was that nations will begin turning to cannibalism. That's about as awful as you can imagine, isn't it? Maybe even a little worse. Tasty Canadians take special note. Once again, here is Major Ed Dames. Major Dames, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, I now have a photograph on my website, on my webcam, of the Mind Dazzle kit. Number one, it's big. Number two, it's heavy. It says the remote viewing training kit, get ready to dazzle your mind. So if a person buys this, what do they get? They get, well, you already described a lot of sealed envelopes. But there's
the techniques themselves are a result of more than 20 years of research, Art, to induce people to be immediately successful in remote viewing. In 3 minutes, you're describing a target, and a picture of that target is in a sealed envelope, and there are 200 sealed envelopes, each with a photo of a remote target. And it is an elegantly simple and sophisticated kit. It is extremely effective, and it is more fun than a barrel of monkeys.
What is the vehicle you use to explain to people how to do it in the kit?
There is a checklist, a 3-minute checklist, and it goes through some steps that you actually set this. You take a, you select one of these sealed envelopes at random. There's no way for you to see what the photo of the target is. You stick that little card in a block marked target, and then you go through this checklist of some pads of some very specific steps that you go through in the kit. You write these down. You write words down on this checklist, following a procedural list that we have in the kit.
All right.
Very easy to understand, very simple. 10-year-old to 90-year-old is the age range here. And at the end of this checklist, you sketch, a rudimentary sketch of the target, which is a person, a place, a thing, or an event. You open the sealed envelope, and you compare your results with this. And we found that that the procedures are extremely effective, and in a matter of minutes, many, many people are getting these right every single time that they work this. The checklist is only 3 minutes. You don't have to study any videotapes. You don't have to read any books. There's a booklet enclosed that gives you the history and tips from pros written by myself and F.M. Bonsall III, my associate. But you don't even have to read that to be effective at this.
All right. How much is the kit?
$79.95 plus shipping, and there's a toll-free order line.
Oh, there is?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
If you want to know more about the kit, go to MindDazzle.com. That's MindDazzle with one D, MindAzzle.
Okay, that's the cheapest yet, $79.95, huh?
We work very, very hard. There's an award-winning designer, Ben Lazzardi, who's designed lots of stuff for Disney and Mattel, and a beautiful, sophisticated kit.
Yeah, as always, it's very professionally done. Beautiful, beautiful cover. All right, it's 1-888-890-2000, right?
Correct.
Can they call that number anytime?
Anytime.
Anytime, all right.
If you want to learn how to do this professionally, you must go to an institute. And I am initiating a national talent search on this Mind Dazzle. This thing will take off. It will be a phenomenon right off the bat. And so we're putting together a national talent search, and the winners of the national talent search, when we have a contest, will have free tuition at my institute.
Really?
Yes, they will.
And that does get expensive, I know.
It can get expensive if you're going to go all the way through the teacher's course.
Yeah.
But most people who go through the teacher's course immediately recoup their earnings by their expenditures by teaching. So it's really an investment.
All right. If you go to my website and go down to Go to what's new and go down until you see what's older, and then go down that list. You'll get to the skunk ape photographs. I am now looking at my skunk ape photographs. They're quite good. They show a large hulking creature behind some vegetation, which is very close to the photographer, who's a lady in Florida, who took this photo and didn't know what she had taken, and then did finally see what she had taken and ran like hell. Anyway, that's the story. What are these things, Ed?
I don't want you to shoot the messenger on this, Art.
No.
Okay.
It's all right.
That particular photo, that particular one that you had on the website is real. It is a real enigma. It was not a doctored photo. That photograph was of something very, very real at the time. But it was very transitory, not because the thing out there ran away, but because of something else. And in fact, what I'm going to suggest to you is not going to be palatable to many people, and probably including yourself. But here goes. You know this idea of, well, let me backtrack a moment, if you'll allow me to.
Sure.
Quite a number of years ago, when our government, you know, as you know, I was in the spy business. I was a spy master. And so I worked with various agencies and operations, and there were kind of, it was spy versus spy, serious. It was a game with serious consequences, but we did some funny stuff in this country. And one of those, do you know how many attempts we had to overthrow the government of Cuba?
Quite a few. Yes.
Quite a few. But that man down there refuses to leave. One of one of the games that we played was the following. We had in Cuba a man who was a preacher. And the preacher was to do the following. The preacher was to start preaching about how bad this man, Fidel Castro, was, and say that on a certain day, if one looked out to the east over the ocean, there would be an event in the sky that would presage the demise of Fidel Castro. And everybody should look to the sky at that time, and they would see this phenomenon that he would prophesize. And this man would all said concomitant with this particular phenomenon would be the demise of Fidel Castro. Well, out on the horizon on that particular day was supposed to be a submarine just over the horizon, just beyond what the eye could see. And at a certain time, this submarine was supposed to launch a very unusual thing. Let's just call it smoke right now, for lack of a better. You know, I don't want to get into the other details. Smoke and whistles on the horizon, which would match the moment that this preacher would say that phenomenon would occur. And the intent here was to have this man believed that this man could prophesy these magical events.
And to actually probably drive somebody to assassinate Castro.
Something like that. You got it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well,
the CIA must have more fun.
I don't want to go on anything beyond that story, but I want to set the stage for this skunk ape phenomenon.
Right. That's fine.
You're also familiar with what Hollywood does in Star Trek, the holodeck, right?
Yes.
You walk in the holodeck, and not
boom.
Only are these images, are these illusions photographic in nature or holographic in nature, they also have mass. Somehow the holodeck is able to gather up a bunch of mass, neutrinos or whatever, put them together so that you can actually touch this image and the illusion can touch you too, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now you shouldn't have to make too much of a leap to consider the following. Let's take the idea of a holodeck and make it portable.
Okay.
So that we could take it into the woods, and let's not only make it portable, let's make it invisible. Let's put a shield around it.
Right.
And then let's tune it so we can tune it and make all kinds of things, a whole menagerie and what humans call the cryptozoological menagerie. Cryptozoology, all
yes.
these weird things, Bigfoot,
yes.
the chupacabras,
right.
the skunk apes. Let's tune this thing, take it around to people's backyards, and turn it on with a different creature every different night. And because these creatures have mass, temporarily have mass, right, you're going to have, and smells, they have chemicals associated with them too, because that's what, chemicals are what? They're mass in a certain, tuned to a certain wavelength. So there's going to be footprints, there's going to be smells, there's going to be sounds, until you turn this off.
It's going to be as real as real is until somebody throws the off switch.
It's going to be a local matter condenser, and it can be tuned to look any just like the holodeck, only it's portable and tunable. So it's a virtual unreality projector.
Gotcha.
Okay? That's what that particular animal, that skunk ape projection was. One of those things, a projection.
Well, who's the Wizard of Oz behind it?
Very good question. Very good question. And that's what we're after now, because that has now become the object of my institute's attention in terms of a project. Exactly that. We've got some good sketches of this projector, by the way, too. And we know that we're dealing with a technology that is way ahead of it. It's an actual technology. It's not done by angels or devils or wizards. It's an actual technology that's owned by somebody. We're very interested in who that somebody is at this moment. And that's
probably
what we're working on now.
Probably the government. Same people.
No, Art. This is a technology that is I don't know.
Far beyond?
Far, far, far beyond any technological base that exists on the planet today.
In every sense of the word, for the lady's eyes, for her camera, for every... it's real.
Only
it's not real.
It's a projection, and it condenses mass locally, and just like the idea of the holodeck. And it becomes temporarily real, very, very solid. It's got temporary mass. The footprints are in the ground because something was heavy there. You condense matter. Matter gets heavy, makes footprints. But it's all a puppet.
It could not really hurt you, or it could?
Well, if it has mass, it could hurt you. If somebody turned the matter projector on and made this thing move across and bump into you, I'm sure it could hurt you.
Well, you said that would be unpalatable. I don't know. It's palatable. What's unpalatable is this cannibalism thing. I mean, I'm sitting here contemplating tasty Canadian flank steaks, and that's unpalatable.
Well, you know, there are cases that pop up in Russia in the winter times, increasingly so. Moldavia had a case of did
yes.
you read about this in the news?
I read it to my audience. Yes, there was a lady in Moldavia selling bags of human flesh.
Right,
it's
from a cancer ward.
God, it's from, that's right, from a cancer ward. God, it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
I read it.
But these incidents like these will become increasingly more frequent, Art, and at the frequency will match the demise of bovine stock and cattle and cows. And this is real. I wouldn't be saying this. I'm not saying this for shock effect. I'm saying it so people start thinking about changing their diet, changing their life, and looking over the horizon. I mean, really, who would have ever imagined that such a thing would be happening in the UK, in the United Kingdom, that's happening right now?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody, except you.
But anybody who learns the technical remote viewing professionally and tunes into the future in very specific ways will see things that unconscious is our best friend. And collectively, the collective unconscious is our collective best friend. It's always trying to warn us, trying to help us. Sometimes as individuals, the unconscious will percolate up an idea in a dream saying, don't get on that plane or move or do something like that or get out of the house,
right,
to warn us. And then we, as the night goes on, we wrap this little kernel of truth in a bunch of trash. And by the end of the dream, it's completely disguised. But in remote viewing, you get to hold on to that one little pristine snowball before it starts rolling downhill through the night and picking up all this debris.
You know, that's very interesting, Ed, because there have been a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot, but quite a number, who have gotten off airplanes because they thought they were going to crash, and by God, the planes crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt very guilty, and they had hard lives after that, but they did live. Now, I've always wondered, of the planes that do crash, how many people in that airplane had at least a fleeting thought before it finally took off? You know, I'm not at all comfortable with this. I'd like to get off this plane. But, of course, they don't do it.
Yeah. Well,
we'll never know.
I understand. One of the reasons that we are putting this mind-dazzle kit on the streets for the public worldwide is to fine-tune and hone that natural intuitive sense that people have, because very, very rapidly you learn how to say, aha, that's what it feels like for my unconscious when it tells me I'm right and when I'm wrong about these basic little targets. And even though you don't use remote viewing professionally, you'll begin to develop a sense internally without going out to the experts or a library.
Yes.
When you hear the truth, when something is right and when something is not right or wrong. And because that sense is honed by this kit, you'll know it. You'll know who to believe, who you can't believe. You'll be able to see through things like never before, in addition to having a whole lot of fun. A world without secrets.
A world without secrets. I'm not sure, really, how much fun that is, and that's what's always prevented me from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not altogether sure I want to see that future.
Well, in
some ways, it's easier to listen to Ed Dames, which I can do, like listening to a ghost story and get scared, and sort of have a little comfort bubble of, well, maybe he's full of it. You know, maybe he's wrong. Now, I'm getting a little nervous at events, at world events right now, because they sound too much like what you said. But I still don't know if I want to know, Ed.
Uh-huh. Remember that Monty Python movie, The Search for the Grail, or The Life of Brian, or whatever that was?
Oh, yes.
Remember the wizard who tried to keep the Crusaders out of from going into that cave because there was this bunny rabbit guarding the entrance?
Yes.
And he said, I'm telling you, blokes, that's a bloody dangerous rabbit there.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
That's what I think I sound like sometimes, that guy. I'm telling you, blokes, that's a bloody dangerous rabbit out there. But in terms of science, I want to point something out to you. Microbes, whether it's the human immunodeficiency virus or whether it's a prion that causes bovine spongiform encephalopathy and its human equivalent, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, the microbes collectively are exhibiting a higher collective intelligence, a higher IQ than mankind. They're beating us. They're smarter than us.
You know, earlier, before you came on tonight, I read a Reuters news story. Headline is, I could go into the details, 2 pages long, Canada finds first case of mad deer disease in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Mad deer disease.
Well, what I'm saying is that we're not going to beat these guys. They're smarter than us. Now, that's the humbling experience. But they're smarter, faster than we are. They're in terms of being a strategist and trying to outwit an enemy. This is the enemy. It's microbes against man, and they are winning. They're smarter than us, Art.
Well, when you consider that the smartest of the smart have not yet cured the common cold, much less something as complicated as these prions, the prions of death, I call them. You're right. Hold on, Ed. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001.
I'm
Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired April 6, 2001.
Not exactly a tasty future, is it? I don't know. You can go take a look for yourself. And you know, you don't have to look at things like that either. There are plenty of other more palatable targets that one can examine. Or on the other hand, when you get proficient, you can look ahead and see if Ed's right. That would be sex, drinking, gambling, and lava. Lots of lava. Welcome back, everybody. Major Ed Dames is my guest, and we've got a lot of territory to cover. Ed, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. I've got to try on this, Ed. I've got to try. The other night, I had a reporter from New Hampshire on the program, and you may have heard the program. I don't know. If you did, you know where I'm going. She interviewed in studio, not over the phone, but in studio. She interviewed an air traffic controller, a manager, air traffic control manager from a major northeast airport who admitted on the air, that chemtrails are weather modification. It was quite a moment, and I have asked you about chemtrails at least 4 or 5 times, and you have always said you will not. It's one thing you will not comment on.
Well, Art, I don't catch all of your shows, but I did catch that interview. I thought it was quite well done. So I know I understand the significance of the interview.
All right.
There are two things about the chemtrails. There are two types of chemtrails. That one is a sensitive experiment, and the other is an absolutely classified thing. And the classified one is not the common one that people see. However, it does get mixed and matched in with the general idea of chemtrails, but it's different. And that's the one I can't talk about. The sensitive one is what I suggested on an earlier program is this idea. Dr. Edward Teller and a group of his associates have more than suggested that the Earth's ozone layer is not going to be repaired, and rather than scare people with that knowledge and the consequences thereof, the consequences of the Earth's ozone layer disappearing, I think that I would guess, my hunch is that there is an attempt afoot by collaboration of NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, the U.S. Air Force, and others to perhaps try a little experiment to ameliorate the effects of the problem and to mitigate the loss of ozone. That's my hunch. If people want to remote view that, they can do that. But I think because of my propinquity, my former connection with the military, I probably need to back away from that or I'll get myself in trouble.
Jail trouble.
Maybe. I'm holding some aces, but you know I can use those aces up.
Yeah, I understand. Barry from San Rafael, California asks via Fast Blast, have you ever looked at the concept of Adam and Eve? You know, the whole creation Genesis concept. Have you ever looked at that?
I have not. That would be a full-blown project, Art, technical remote viewing project. I have not mounted a project like that.
All right.
No pun intended.
You have a word or two to say about... and before I go on, you know where else they've detected mad deer? Apparently in Colorado. Is this whole class of mad deer, mad sheep, mad cow... It's all the same thing. It's eventually going to do away with our meat. Is that what it is?
I'm not saying it's the same thing, and it's a moot point. The point is moot because in terms of us as professional remote viewers looking ahead, all the meat's gone, Art.
Yeah.
There's no meat.
Well, there was a day...
Except for human meat.
Yeah. There was a day when people would hear you say this, and they would go... There's just, you know, it's laughable. Somebody's scaring us to death. for profit or for whatever reason they've motivation they've got. The trouble is, today we can see it on the horizon. We can see it just over the horizon, and so maybe it's a lot more worrisome than it was.
Technical remote viewing is like an over-the-horizon radar.
Yeah,
if you're
yeah.
familiar with the way they work, they bounce off the ionosphere and they look over the horizon, and regular radars have line of sight, that kind of thing. We look over the time horizon. Sometimes we get a fuzzy image, but it gets clearer to us as the event emerges. And so we can act as an indicator or warning system and put the word on the street. We can act as a herald. And I think that I'm not trying to merely scare people. I'm trying to scare them into being smarter.
I know, Ed, but your critics say that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they get very angry, and things that scare people make people angry.
That's right, but there could be, for instance, let's use the hypothetical example of maybe I'm successful in scaring a young mother-to-be to the point where she begins to investigate milk alternatives for her baby,
right.
her unborn babies. Then I've succeeded in at least that one narrow area, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, let's talk pathogens for a second. Pathogens. Any guess on how close we are? I read all these stories, as I told you earlier, about a fungus. But a fungus is not a pathogen, or is it?
Are they
one and the same?
It's a plant pathogen. When I talk about a plant pathogen, I'm not talking about disease, but bacterial or microbial animal diseases. I'm talking about plant pathogens, in particular mold.
Mold.
Yeah. Claviceps purpurea. The ergot, the mold from which LSD is extracted, lysergic acid, that particular mold and variants of that. Now we have genetically modified crops which are far weaker and far more susceptible to immunological attack, to its intoxicology, it's called an insult. In the plant pathology world, in phytopathology, it's called other things. Nevertheless, these plants, these genetically modified plants, are much weaker. They're not as viable as their forerunners.
So in other words, they might be stronger in one respect. Maybe they repel some sort of insect, but on another level, they're not as strong.
That's correct. They're weaker because you have to take something away to put something in many times. Sometimes they're not hybrids. A hybrid is sometimes much stronger, much more viable. These are not hybrids.
Genetically engineered.
They're genetically engineered, and look at the case of soybeans. Some of the soybean crops, there's nothing of value added to the soybean. There's nothing at all. Some of the soybeans are modified simply to be able to withstand an herbicide, so you can spray the herbicide on the soybeans, whereas before it would have damaged them, now it doesn't. That adds no food value to the bean. But it allows you to use a spray, an herbicide, in places and in amounts where you could not before.
And if it got down to it, if it really got so bad, as you suggest it will get, would you really eat worms?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You would?
Hold your nose and do it. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, having been a soldier, you know, you do things like that, whether once in a while and...
I was in the Air Force, Ed. I never ate a worm.
Well, they have survival schools in the Air Force, too. I guess those missed you.
No, I missed them.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. I've never eaten a worm, and I don't know if I could. Now, I guess when people get hungry, there's a lot of things they can do, short of tasty Canadian.
Actually, there's recipes for earthworms, and I have not tried the recipes, but they have things like surprise pie. That's an actual name for one.
Surprise pie.
Surprise pie, how to prepare these things palatably, and I hear they're not so bad. And mix it with some chlorella, and who knows what it would taste like.
Oh, God, I can sort of imagine.
But we're not talking, we're talking about a great deal of the population. I've been dinged before by critics who have said, Ed, you said 85% of the world's population is going down. Now, it's not, I said that, but it was out of context. In parts of the world, up to 85% of human life will be lost in parts of the world.
That is a very important difference.
Yeah, not globally.
Now, the developed U.S., the industrial U.S., well, developed anyway, information technology-wise, we're certainly developing. We're going to do a little better than, obviously, poorer parts of the world, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the temperate zones will be a little bit better. I think Father Malachi Martin, when he referred to the 3 days of darkness, the biblical 3 days of darkness,
yes,
that appears to be a very high wind, extremely high wind, as a result of some geophysical event that we have not put our finger on yet, which lifts a tremendous amount of dirt and dust into the air and blocks the sun. So high winds, very high winds, and that's what he was referring to.
Ed, there's been a real interest in something called the Bible Code, which seems to allow people with a software program to go through the Bible and pull out key phrases that appear to confirm events that have occurred in our past and predict events that will occur in our future, very accurately so. Have you taken a look at that?
I have not, Art. I've had students in my institute who've taken my classes talk about the Bible Code, but we've never subjected that to either training or a regular project at the institute. So I don't know.
All right.
Don't know much.
I've had a lot of people talk to me about a pole shift. I've had a lot of people on the air who have said we are going to have a pole shift. The sun just had a pole shift, but if the Earth has a pole shift, it would have very dramatic results indeed. I think our magnetic protection would disappear for a period of time, and the poles would swap, and all kinds of things would occur, including high winds. Is a pole shift in our future? Have you looked at that?
12.5 degrees.
Well, that's a fast answer. 12.5 degrees?
Yes, temporarily inside. The actual core of the Earth will shift 12.5 degrees, and that will cause the Earth to wobble. When the coefficient of friction, as you know, between the magma, the loose inside of the Earth, and the mantle isn't matched. I'm sure you're familiar with the example of this. If you take an uncooked egg, a chicken's egg,
yes,
and you spin it on a table,
yes,
there's a moment where the yolk and the albumin catches up with the shell.
That's right.
There's a time delay, and then the egg spins, as opposed to a hard-boiled egg, which it spins immediately.
Right.
Well, that's like the Earth. The inner core is fluid, so it's fairly fluid, relatively speaking, and the mantle is stiff. So it's like the raw egg. And when the magnetic field shifts 12.5, when the core shifts 12.5 degrees, and what looks like a big clump of molten something moves from one place to another, so there's some type of a shift in this globular mass like that. Think of the egg yolk turning 12.5 degrees. That inertia is translated eventually into the Earth's mantle, causes a great deal of volcanic activity and as well as these high winds because the Earth precesses. I've talked to scientists that know about this.
You know, what you have just said is exactly what Gordon Michael Scallion has said is coming. I've got him booked in a week or so. Gordon Michael Scallion has said exactly what you're saying now about the center of the Earth, the liquid.
I have no timelines on this, by the way, Art. None. I have no idea how far out this is, but we know it's there. It's just like we can see it in the distance, allegorically speaking, like the mountain I mentioned, but we can't tell how far it is. We can see it clearly, but we can't tell how far in time.
Well, hopefully that one is far away. But something called the Chandler wobble, I think, has been increasing, and that might be the beginning of something like that. That's why I mentioned it. I remembered Gordon and the way he described everything and the way it was going to happen, and that's exactly what you just said, more or less exactly what you just said. Interesting. All right, what else have you been working on?
Mostly teaching people this skill. I have an end game that I don't usually talk about. It's a personal end game, and that's the education of children worldwide. And that's my most important thing. That's my pet project. Ensuring children's safety, going after the bad guys that would abduct and kill a child, and educating them in how to recognize something that's true from something that's false, because children don't know who to believe these days. Did you know that I was a graduate of the first graduating class of Santana High School?
I did not.
Yeah, I was. That's really odd where that shooting occurred. The first graduating class, brand new school.
I had no idea.
1967. So it really struck home. I had asked to go toe to toe with Father Martin when he, Father Malachi Martin, when he suggested that remote viewing might be mind bending in a way, to paraphrase him. And now, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm going toe to toe with this dark shadow that seems to be hovering around people. A couple of years ago, I said, Art, there's no precedent for children killing children. Why are children killing children? Why is that happening? And that's when we got into this really dark zone. What's going on at the collective consciousness level that is affecting children so much? Is it simply cultural conditioning, television and movies and that kind of thing, or is it something else that we can't see? That is why I subjected that phenomenon to remote viewing in a professional sense. And that's when you run up against this dark shadow. And I think it's time to go toe-to-toe with that shadow because it's targeting children. Whatever that is, that field effect, that entity, that creature from the id, whatever you wish to call it, it's going after children. Because children are the future, Art.
Ed, how do you know that it's not that being you remote viewed that I still don't think you should have?
It doesn't matter what you call it, Art. It's something that's a dark force, and it needs its enemy is illumination. Its enemy is ferreting it out and pointing to it, shining a light on it. That's the enemy. It needs to hide in order to affect what it's doing, and it hides in different places.
Yes, but that's one where frequently the messenger gets killed.
If you're not smart, the idea is to be as smart as you can because you're going to need all your smarts to go toe to toe with something like that. But it has to be done, wouldn't you think? Otherwise, the shadow just grows.
Yeah, of course, somebody's going to have to take it on. But I don't know, Ed. It seems to me like it probably ought to be somebody like Father Malachi Martin to take it on.
He's dead.
I know.
Gone.
I know.
And so, people need a tool to find out where the shadow is hiding and to shine a light on it. At least point to it and say it's there, so it can run somewhere else. And until enough people can point, and it has no place to hide. And those are all allegories. I don't know really what's going to happen, but I do know children need to be protected.
Yeah. Are you planning another session of the darkest kind?
No. I'm planning.
Sounds that way.
No, I'm planning on educating as many children as possible in second sight, giving them second sight so they can see where the shadow is. That's what I'm planning. I take a lot of hits for dealing with the Chinese, for taking the Mind Dazzle kit to China. Why am I taking the Mind Dazzle kit to China?
Yeah, why are you?
Because China has 25% of the world's children. And the children, those are the children that are going to rebuild this planet. Would you rather have the children that hate Americans rebuild the planet, or children that can see us for who we really are?
Indeed. All right, Ed, hold on. Stay right there. When we come back, we'll begin to open the phone lines for Major Ed Dames. I know you've got a lot of good questions, so come on ahead. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001. listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001.
Yes, I am Art Bell, and my guest is General Jameson Johnson. No, not really. I just, it's been so long since I played this that I thought I would do it just so Phil could keep his parodies contemporary. My guest actually is Major Ed Dames, and it's pretty serious stuff, really serious stuff. Cannibalism. That's the word of the night, no question about it. No doubt we'll end up in caves. Cannibal caves. Doesn't sound good, it really doesn't. What's ahead for us? Do you want to look ahead? Well, you don't have to look ahead at that stuff. Remember, you can look ahead at other lighter stuff. And there's a new kit out. It's really a neat kit called Mindazzle, and it's only $79.95. So, having said that, in a moment, we're going to get you on the phone with Major Ed Dames. Well, Ed, Matt up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, concentrating on what you've been saying, flippantly asks, what do we eat when all the worms and all my neighbors are gone?
Chlorella and spirulina. That would work if you've got it. Otherwise, I think there's a sect that's called, aeroliums or something like that, people who breathe air, and they say they get their food from that, sustenance from the air.
Yes.
That might be a good practice to take up. I don't know if it works or not, but...
I don't think so.
That's a flippant answer, because I don't really know.
Breathe air, that's right. Let them breathe air. All right, first-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
Indiana,
okay. Uh-huh. All right.
I'd just like to comment that Major Dames' prediction about cannibalism wasn't that surprising to me. Excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous.
It's not surprising to you?
No, because Danny and Brinkley described in his first book how he was taken to the other side.
Yes.
And on a TV screen, he was shown scenes from the future.
That's correct.
And did you read the book?
Yes.
Okay. And one of the predictions that really stood out in my mind was widespread cannibalism, and that people would be very upset.
Well, how about you, since we've got you on the phone? If it came to that, if it really came to that, what would you do?
I was thinking about that. I get tanks and I breed chlorella and spirulina. I try it.
So you'd go in that direction?
Right. What else is there to do?
I don't know.
Well, I'm a vegetarian.
I mean, all you can do is sort of size up your neighbor as they go to the mailbox, you know, and...
Oh, dear.
Well, Ed, you know what? You got to have a laugh about this every now and then. It's too damn dire. She's right about what Daniel Brinkley said, somebody else I have coming on again soon, so we'll ask him.
In my old business, in the intelligence business, you never wanted to mount an operation or draw a definitive conclusion for the President of the United States or the National Security Council or for a national intelligence estimate if you didn't have the same thing from three different sources, entirely different sources.
Right.
So you never went with just one source of information unless it was that's all that you had and it was an emergency. So you would expect that certainly my institute, Center for Excellence notwithstanding, doesn't have any monopoly on the truth. We just have a monopoly on details. And you're going to get the truth from everybody who is in touch with themselves in one way, shape, form, or another. So you're going to hear the truth coming from different sources, especially on your show.
Yeah, sometimes I don't like hearing it myself. Believe me, some of this is not easy to listen to. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Is that me?
That's you.
Good. Is the future written in stone, Ed?
Huh.
And can there be, do you know of any, or is anyone trying to remote influence that future to the better?
Oh, both really good questions. Is the future, as you see it, Ed, written in stone?
The only thing that, based upon my experience, 18 years as a professional on this business, some things appear to be written in stone. Some large geophysical events appear to be written in stone. As far as other things go, I do not know. I honestly do not know, and nor do I really know if we can influence the future or influence the past. For instance, you know, theoretically, quantum mechanics at the micro scale levels, time flows backwards just as easily as it flows forward. We see that in modern quantum theory. So that would imply that we can that something that we do in this moving present of ours, this now, can influence both the future and the past. But in terms of how that affects us up here where the river meets the road,
right.
I honestly don't know.
And with regard to remote influencing, I know there have been some experiments with remote influencing. Some people I've had on have said that they believe it has been done, demonstrated. Do you think it's something ultimately that either we have done or will be able to do?
I'm researching it now with members of my A team, professionally, psychokinesis, on-call directed psychokinesis. It's our sister science, after all. Remote viewing is a passive act.
That's right.
The, you know, information collection.
That's right.
Psychokinesis is an active act. It's actually a misnomer because if you observe something, you become part of the history of that. But in terms of real dynamics and mechanics, psychokinesis has a much more apparent effect. Remote influencing that we tried in the military didn't get a lot of money because we weren't able. We tried it. And it has a long and colorful background, but it was never made to work effectively. For instance, our goal was to influence guidance systems on computers and foreign missiles.
Sure.
But instead, we were wrecking our own computers, and we were doing it in ways that we didn't understand. So we stopped the experiments, and we stopped the flow of money into those experiments.
But that would still indicate that remote influencing, though not easily directed, is a real possibility, at least.
Psychokinesis is real, yes. And there are different modalities and ways of using it. It hasn't been effective. Interestingly, a very synchronicity at work here. Just yesterday, I got an email from my old Russian nemesis / counterparts who were in charge of the Russian program. They emailed me and wanted me to come to Russia.
Really?
Exactly for this reason, because they've had successes in psychokinesis and want me to go and evaluate their experience. The program's probably run by the KGB.
Probably.
So I'm not going, but it was very interesting to get that email.
Must have been a little tempting.
Yeah.
Because I know the Russians are really way out there with the experiments.
And I know who they are, too. And you know what? They're really interesting people, Art. But unfortunately, their goals seem to be not concomitant with my own. And so that's... And my job is to expose clandestine secrets, that, at least the ones that are against children.
Since I know that you speak fluent Chinese, and I know that a lot of your intel work involved around that, I cannot resist asking you about the present difficulties we're having with our airplane. Have you taken, wasn't it almost irresistible since it went down at Hainan for you to take a look at that, see what really happened? Did we hit them? Did they hit us?
I didn't look because I just assumed that that our reports are true. I have a tremendous respect for Colin Powell. I have worked for him before. He is I have no reason to question anything that man says. He's a remarkable man of extreme integrity. So
you know the Chinese very well.
I know them very well, and the problem is that our current president is not educated in the culture and mores of that people, and I don't think he could ever possibly understand it. It's sort of like when I was younger. My Navajo friends, we'd hang out together, but it was, you never knew what was going on in the red man's mind as a white man. We just couldn't do it. You know, it was a different world, and that's the way it is, you know, between the so-called yellow race and us, even though when you're ensconced down in there. It's very difficult. Those cross-cultural meanings just don't... That's why jokes don't translate very well from language to language.
No, they don't
work.
They don't. It's true.
Because there's the common denominators are not so common in terms of the entire culture. But that is the it's a difficult culture to understand. Faith means a whole lot.
Yes, yes, it does. And that's what I wanted to ask you. In other words, in your view, would the communist Chinese lie about this? They're claiming that our plane did it. They want an apology.
They would lie to save face, yes.
Okay. Good enough. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Yes.
Hello.
Miss Bell?
Yes.
My name is Carol. I'm in Iowa heading north on I-35, and I'm listening out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
All right.
I'm sorry, I don't know the number. I think Major Dames already answered this question, but I'd like to ask, I think that life is a series of choices mixed with, some people call it fate, some people call it providence of God, but I think that we make choices in life and it influences the outcome of our lives. And I don't think it's just individuals. I think it happens on a societal level. A good example of this, I think, is the Vietnam War. I think that there would have been a different outcome in American history if we had not protested the Vietnam War. And what that outcome is, I have no idea. I just think there would have been a different outcome. So, and I think what Major Dames is doing with children in making them aware that they can perceive this dark shadow, I think that is, again, if that works, that will actually change the course of human history, because we are looking at a generation of children who will be more aware of that dark shadow and how to deal with it. So my question is, how does remote viewing take in account those different things? In other words, those different choices, those different paths that our lives can take. How does it translate into remote viewing? And I will get off the air and listen to his answer.
All right. Ed?
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. Ed?
Well, the thought ball as a packet is a little bit obtuse, but I think I can satisfy the caller, Carol, by saying this. If you look at something as simple but as elegant and as sophisticated as this remote viewing kit that children will eat up more than they did Harry Potter worldwide, it's really a way of, you talk about remote influencing. This is an influential thing because it in a very fun way, it teaches kids, it teaches young people, everybody, but I'm particularly interested in young people, how to discern something that's true from something that's false. Because let's picture someone's commuting to work on the Los Angeles freeway parking lot, turns into a parking lot. They're sitting there in the car, and it's just another day. And maybe this person would wonder if they have natural intuitive ability or they've heard a program about clairvoyance or ESP and always wondered if they had that. But there's no way for them to know, number one, nor is there a way for them to judge their natural abilities. But what this kit does, in no uncertain terms and very, very quickly, it allows you to see, because each session is only 3 minutes. In 3 minutes, you can see how close you got to the target. And the kit teaches you to get closer and closer very fast. It's very, very, it's a mind-boggling thing. That's why we changed the name to Mind Dazzle.
Dazzlement. Yes.
So what it teaches a person to do is to distinguish what it feels like to be on target and off target. There's a sense inside of us. And when you develop, and when you begin to feel what that is like, sort of like using a new muscle for the first time,
right,
one that you've never used before,
right,
you now can say, aha, I know when I'm right, and I know when I'm not wrong, I know what the truth is, and I know what false is, because I learned how to do this in this game. And then when someone tells you, whether it's a used car salesman or the president of the country, if they make a statement and you're looking at them, you can go back inside of yourself and remember what it was like to be on target as opposed to off target and ask yourself, how does it feel right now, yes or no? And that's where that's where you actually expose, you shine a light on the dark spaces, because there's some darkness out there. You expose untruths.
That's much less than a full TRV. Can you do that sometimes with... Or are you afraid to do that because of the error rate? In other words, to quickly hear about a subject and to render an answer of what you believe versus what a full TRV session would reveal.
Well, and the kinds of problems that we tackle require a full description of the target or the solution of a problem.
For instance, I don't give you the easy ones.
Well, some in our normal day-to-day work, in our training work, for instance, the day before yesterday, we solved an industrial design problem where a plant was shut down because the owners of the plant did not know what was wrong with the equipment. So in 45 minutes, we were able to pinpoint the cause of the breakdown. That's the kind of thing that we do there. And you can't do that with a mind dazzle kit. Mind dazzle kit, you can get a rough sketch of a target and know if you're on or off. It's a hobby.
So you're increasing your natural intuitive powers, but not going all the way.
You're honing them, but in many cases, you're introducing someone to their own powers. Because nobody, I remember how I was 20 years ago. I didn't even know where my unconscious was, much less whether I had one or not. When my teacher introduced me to that, it was like, my God, there's a part of me that knows the answer, direct knowledge, directly, that I've never even been introduced to. And my ego would not, I had a big ego then. I still got a big one, but when I remote view, you better unstrap that thing and hang it up, because you'll crash and burn in remote viewing. You can put the ego back on when you're done. But, man, that ego cannot be in the way when you're remote viewing. You need your unconscious to tell you, and that's what we're trained to do.
All right, Alan in Las Vegas would like to know, has Ed ever remote viewed the Antichrist and identified him?
I have done some work on the Antichrist, and my A-team in the Institute would like to do some more work, but...
Now, I'm reading between the lines here. I can hear the pauses in your voice, and I could drive a truck through them, Ed. You've done something with the Antichrist, haven't you?
What would you do if you knew who it was, Art? Would you tell people? Now I feel like Malachi Martin with regard to the cannibalism and not wanting the unspeakable horrors. Would you tell someone what good would it be if someone like me told people about the Antichrist, as opposed to training them to be able to pick out the shadow themselves and looking that way? That's a better way to do it than me pointing the finger. Right now, I have a big problem. Let's look at an everyday practical problem.
Is the Antichrist alive now, Ed? Now, that you could safely, I think, say, without identifying the person.
Yes.
Boy, I thought so. We'll be right back. Well, I warned you. Didn't I warn you this was going to be a rough one? So he's out there right now, huh? I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Or want to make a deal?
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001.
He came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot. And the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals at heart. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 6th, 2001.
Well, Sandy from Kamloops, BC, Canada says, "Hey Art, lay off that tasty Canadian back bacon." Eh? Back now to Major Ed Dames. He's got a new kit out, which is called Mind Dazzle. Pretty neat name, huh? It will lead you into the world of remote viewing, start you out, teach you how to increase your intuitive ability. It's kind of a neat thing when you think about it, and it's $79.95. And just so the audience is fully aware, neither I nor my network or anybody else gets any penny of any of that. Right, Ed?
That's correct. Did you need a loan or something?
No. I just wanted everybody to understand. I don't have any piece of that.
Just joking.
Whether somebody comes on the air with a book, you know, they're selling, or a bedazzle kit, or a mind dazzle kit, or whatever, I like to do it for them because they come on the program. And so I just wanted it clear that I have no piece of anybody's action. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I enjoy being here. I have for the last 4 years, since the first time I was on. If your listeners are interested in remote viewing as a profession as well as a hobby, they can just, when at their leisure on the web, they can go to remoteviewing.la, and they can start there.
All right. Here's something that has also really worried me. It really worried me, and Tim in Honolulu reminds me. The Mir space station came crashing back to Earth, depositing itself safely in the Pacific Ocean. However, there was this damned fungus on Mir, Ed. It ate at titanium. It fed on the, the cosmonauts and a couple astronauts had that would flake off their skin or whatever. It managed to subsist, I guess, nutritionally on that. And one would imagine that it probably burned up when the Mir came back, but big chunks of the Mir definitely came back. I saw them on CNN. And a few people out there, including me, were worried that when this fungus gets into the ocean, where it has a very rich nutrient supply, if it didn't burn up, then it's really going to get to going. And it was up there where it was being influenced by radiation and all kinds of things. It was a really weird fungus, and now it's in the ocean. So it may be the end of Mir, but we're not altogether sure it's the end of the fungus. Any thoughts, or is that something you'd have to work on?
I have some thoughts. It isn't something that I worked on specifically, but I have some thoughts. I was scheduled to sit down and meet with Michael Crichton before Hollywood went on strike. And I admire Crichton because of the book The Andromeda Strain, remember?
Oh, yes.
And he reminds me, Michael Crichton reminds me in a way of Arthur C. Clarke. These are people who are very structured writers who also are plugged into their own unconscious. You know, I've trained a lot of screenplay writers and Hollywood types in the entertainment business, and some of the best artists are the ones that plug in to their unconscious where it just flows. They're in the zone. They don't think about what they're writing, painting, sculpting.
That's right.
And I think that what we see, the people that we see as the best creators, the Crichtons and the Clarks, are those type of people. They're naturally remote viewing, but then their imagination takes over. In our business, we teach our students how to recognize when imagination is overlaying the data.
Right.
But I think, like Arthur C. Clarke, Michael Crichton has actually drawn a picture of things to come in terms of the Andromeda Strain, and the picture is very much like what survived the Mir reentry.
Did you say survived?
Yes, I did.
So you are you have remote viewed this?
Yes. The spores from that particular, those fungal spores not only survive, but they're floating around the Earth's atmosphere. What goes up must come down. What comes down must come down. The spores themselves are in Earth's atmosphere. They're floating around in the troposphere, Art, all over the place.
Great.
The spores from metal-eating fungi.
Oh, good. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Yes, Art?
Yes.
Good morning. And good morning, Major Dames.
Good morning.
I have two brief questions, and then I'll hang up, and I'll just listen to the answer. My name is Jenny, and I'm calling from Washington. Major Dames, you are my all-time favorite guest on the Art Bell program, and what I want to know this evening is, pertaining to chemtrails, I appreciate what you can and cannot say about that, but my question is, do you see anything in the chemtrails which might possibly be toxic to human beings? And my second question is pertaining to the Antichrist. Do you think if en masse we think about this, is there any way that collectively we can stop him, her, it? And thank you very much. I certainly enjoy your program.
All right. Jenny, bye-bye. You were sweet. Jenny was sweet. All right. Ed?
Sometimes, if it's a government project, sometimes, Art, as you might guess, and I know, one of the reasons that in the past projects have been protected and classified is because they do produce some things that are toxic, not because the program itself
right.
is needs to be classified, but because the Environmental Protection Agency needs to not know about what the byproducts or the metabolites of a biological agent are. It's for that reason, and unfortunately that's true. And in fact, I and a colleague stopped a defense test once because of the potential damage that it would do to careful about how I phrase it, to a particular area. We actually stopped the test because of that. The bottom line there is that the Department of Defense has a goal, and it is not consistent. I'm sorry to say, I'm not a spokesman for the Department of Defense, but it's my personal opinion, not consistent with ecology. Number two, in terms of influencing Antichrist, my guess and my hunch based upon our work is that it's this thing is destined to happen. And it doesn't matter whether you know about it or not. You have personal choice in the matter about whether to listen to it or not. But we are not going to affect that kind of destiny. It's sort of like Saddam Hussein. We just couldn't figure out why we couldn't get that guy. We tried everything. We had everything on the table. Everything was working. It looked like we could get him. Same thing with some other.
Yeah, you're right. We really have tried everything.
But it's almost as if he's... that destiny is protecting him, that he has a role to play, that he's destined to play, and nothing you can do is going to detract from that role and stop it from happening.
And that is the same with the Antichrist.
That's the way I feel personally, yes.
Okay. Let's see. First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
My name is Stephanie.
Hi, Steph.
And I'm calling from California, and I've just... arrived back in the United States from Germany after a few years over there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a doing research. It's, I guess you would call it, the remote viewing. Basically, I have to locate the time, the place, the incident, who did what, how it was done, and I do this with, I'm on tape, I'm on computers, I've got lie detectors on me, the whole thing, and I'm dealing with a lot of the life energy particles that are going on at the time and the consciousness that's affected, the people that are, what they're going through, as well as the altered energies. And I had looked at you, Ed, earlier, and I'm glad to hear at this time that you're actually looking at the areas that I was facing for the last 2 years on a 24-hour basis.
Meaning what?
Basically, you started looking at the beings that basically have a very negative intention or an intention to control life.
Yes.
Okay. You have located, now there are several in that setup, but there are specific locations. And I've got about 2,300 sessions that I brought out on the recovery. And I went back approximately 817 million years because we were going through all the incidents that took place at different situations.
May I interrupt?
Yeah.
What's your goal?
What is my goal?
Yeah, what is your absolute goal? Because without a goal, you can't measure your success. What is the goal?
Well, I made a decision a while back, and that was to be able to present something for the people here. to bring in some information that would help. I've been doing this.
To help change something or to help warn?
To help the people, because they're not getting the idea of being able to handle a lot of the conditions that are going on, and there is a way to handle it. And it is true, you have to face what's going there. You have to be able to hold your viewpoint on the intention of another being that's sitting there trying to knock you out or mind control you or whatever else. And you've got to be able to hold your viewpoint on that being. At that point, that person cannot knock you over or size you up for what would work to put you off or distract you or introvert you or knock you in such a way that you lose a certain amount of consciousness.
All right. Well, so you're facing the same things that that Ed has been talking about. She's talking generally, Ed, about the dark forces and dark beings and dark influence, which you've talked a lot about.
She's painting a picture of a threat. Yes, I understand that much. She's painting a picture of a threat that sounds like the kinds of threats that I feel are directed against people, predominantly children. Yes, I understand that much.
So she apparently has the same motivation or intention to help or in some way to try and change it. Your view, I think, would be that really is not possible, right? You can look at it. You can observe what is coming. You might not know quite when, but you're not going to really be able to change it.
That's correct, Art. I think that as individuals, though, if individuals become aware, if they see it coming, they can get out of the way.
Yeah, so the only way to help them is to warn them, right?
To warn them and or to teach them. Either you show them where the steps, so they get out of the, they zig when they should zig and zag when they should zag, or you teach them to zig and zag themselves, either way.
All
but
right.
You're not going to stop what's the juggernaut that's coming.
All right.
The Leviathan that's coming down on them.
All right. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Hello, good morning, and good morning, Ed. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I remember 4 years ago when you first came on the show, and on the web pages and everything else, people were ripping you, and they were unbelievable amount of detractors. But the point is, from what I hear from you, it's always solidly down the middle of the line. You're just telling us what needs to be told, and people, obviously, they're emotional one way or the other from whatever way they're going. All I'm telling you is I'm a fan, and believe me, I don't get any money either by saying that off of your products. But the point is, on your website lately, I see you have a new web page listed, and you have down below on the first page a thing called, I think, The Word. If you click on that link, it's all scripture. Was that intended for some purpose?
That's my personal web page. I can put anything I want on it, and there's only one link there. It's the words of Jesus of Nazareth, his own words translated into about 50 languages. That's the only link I have. It's just a personal thing. I'm not ashamed of publishing the words of Jesus of Nazareth.
Exactly. And the point is, like I say, with all these detractors, and like I say, I see them on message boards, and everyone's ripping you. But everything that you said, like I say, since this last 4 years or 5 years since you've been on this show, I have not seen any deviation from the norm.
Not only has there been no deviation, I also note that, but for his detractors, they're going to have to begin to explain what's happening around us right now.
Exactly.
That was forecast all those years ago. Sorry, folks, it does seem to be coming true.
Absolutely.
So
all I can leave you with is that, like I said, I'm not being the cheerleader or, you know, a paid guy calling up the call. All I know is what I hear and what I see, and what you're doing to wake up people, and especially the kids, because that's what the dark side's going after. I think it's a good deal. If people want to take it one way or the other, that's their business. But the point is, I mean, it's so obvious now what's happening.
Right. Absolutely right. Thank you very much, caller. He's really right, Ed. I mean, all of these things that are now beginning to actually happen to us that you called years ago that seemed so ludicrous years ago, they're happening now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hello, Art. This
yes.
John from Goodland, Minnesota.
Hi, John.
Hi. Dr. Doom, welcome back. It's been a while here. But
at your service.
Well, whether it's a solar kill shot or a global superstorm or a pole shift or a combination with resulting in an ice age, which you've talked about in the past, the common denominator, it seems to me, is that we all need to be underground in some way, like the Russians or the Hopis. I plan on surviving on my little hand-built root cellar, which I've been working on here. But the one thing that worries me about this possibility, and I know you've talked about your lava domes in Maui too, is the possibility of a firestorm, which you haven't mentioned. And in terms of my own specific situation here, maybe I should have called in Art on the mad scientist line, but my hydrogeologist brother suggested if I serrate these plastic pipes and sink them into the sand under my root cellar, I can actually breathe the sand gas from as the oxygen gets sucked out of the root cellar. And so I think I'll either die or live happily or die confidently and come back as his child in my next life.
These events are so big that even as remote viewers, we can't grasp the size nor even the geophysics involved. They're unprecedented, number one. Number two is, it doesn't happen to the entire planet at once. There's effects that are concentrated in certain belts, and the winds that I'm describing as a result of all of our work are not everywhere at once. So, and as far as firestorms go, we haven't described anything like a firestorm. Only the effects of a coronal mass ejection on the atmosphere and whatever that does geophysically, because we can't grasp the geophysics, the event itself. It's too big, and it's not something that we're familiar with. In remote viewing, one uses let's use the right brain, left brain as a model. You can even teach children to remote view. You can direct their unconscious mind or a person's unconscious mind to a target. We do this in our remote viewing training kit. But unless you have a memory, a lexicon, a thesaurus, labels for what you're perceiving, you can't describe it. You need a label. If a person, for instance, is your target and the person has lost a loved one and the person is grieving, most adults with life experience can find a label for what they're feeling at this person at a remote location. This person is grieving and feeling a sense of loss. A young person, for instance, 14 years old, 12 years old, you can teach them to remote view also, but they don't have a label for what they're perceiving. They might simply say, well, there's a man here who feels bad. Mm-hmm. So for us, as experienced observers, remote viewers, we don't have labels for the kinds of geophysical events that we're perceiving. Perhaps a geophysicist, that if I would train one, I've trained many specialists, but no geophysicist would be able to say, I know what this is. But we can't.
Caller?
Okay. I guess that clarifies some things, you know, and gives some hope to people who are out there in terms of using their own intuition in terms of how they can deal with the future.
Well, that's what this new kit, to plug it one more time, is for, to hone your intuition, really. If you want to become a lab-type remote viewer, you can go on from there. But this would be a great way to find out, wouldn't it? Mind Dazzle is what it's called. I'm holding it up on my webcam if you want to see it. And if you want to buy it, oh, boy, where's my... Here it is. It's $79.95. And somebody asks on my Fast Blast, Ed, whether it would be good not just for children, although perhaps ideal for children, but... what about older adults as well?
9 to 90. 9 years old to 90 is the age range. Anybody younger than 9 has to have parents to help them with the kit. So if you want to play it as a game, if you're tired of Monopoly and things like that, you want to have a lot of fun at home and in a family environment, kids younger than 9 need to have parents help to do the sketching and to understand these very simple instructions.
And it has how many sealed targets in it?
200.
200 sealed targets.
Yes.
Well, great. Ed, as always, what a wild night. Ed, we'll do this again. I've already tasked you with enough goodies, I guess, to do a whole nother show.
I've got them pointed down. We have our work cut out for us.
Indeed.
Shadow people, huh?
Oh, shadow people, definitely, Ed. I really want to know about the shadow people.
Good to be with you again, Art.
Good night, my friend.
Good night. Thank you, Roland, for putting the web links up.
You bet. Take care. All right, well, that's it, folks. We've got a wild week coming up next week. This is the end of this week. I'm told it's going to rain in the desert this weekend as the weather continues to be totally weird, and I mean really rain, as the winds have blown. So... that's what I've got to look forward to this weekend. I hope you have a great one. I'm Art Bell from the high desert. Ta-ta.